2 Peter chapter 2, and you'll see this is a wonderful verse to use for eternal security. Look at verse number 7, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The very fact that the Bible in verse 7 calls him just Lot means that he was saved. So Lot was saved. Praise God. All of his actions could not allow him, or did not and cannot allow him, to lose his salvation. Because look at the next verse there, verse 8, for that righteous man, Lot, even though he was a backslidden, verse number 8 says, that righteous man, there it is again, he's just and he's righteous, dwelling among them, Sodom and Gomorrah, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So Lot ends up being a picture of someone who's saved, but hangs around the wrong crowd to the point he vexes, or, interesting word when you look it up, he poisons his own soul. But you still, praise God, can't lose your salvation. However, you also cannot hang around the wrong crowd and it not affect you. In seeing and hearing their unrighteous deeds, vexed his soul from day to day, with their unlawful deeds. Now, I know backsliding isn't pleasant. It isn't pleasant to anybody, but it's a word that God warns us with. In Proverbs 14:14, God says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. One thing you learn about a backslider is this: they're always wanting to do what they want to do. They're filled with their own ways. This should never be an intimidating question to a child of God. This question right here: are you doing what God wants you to do? That should be a pressure release. Yes, you may not like what I'm doing, but I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And when you talk to someone or a Christian that's backslidden, and it's always, I want to do this, I am doing this, and it's all I, a backslider, God says, in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Let me read you one more verse, and then we're going to look at Lot tonight. Jeremiah 2:19, just listen. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. So, as we look at backsliding tonight, let's start and let's go to Genesis 13 and let's look at this person called Lot. I remember Lester Roloff, when he would preach on Lot, he would say this, you know, there wasn't a lot to old Lot. And I thought, wow, that kind of helps you a little bit. And Lot is the picture of someone who's spiritually messed up. Praise the Lord, he got saved. He's obviously got a Christian background. But there are some traits. Lot is what we call there are several Christians we could use in the Bible, but Lot is one of the pictures in the Bible of a backslidden Christian. So when you read his life, you can look at it, and I think you could probably pull more truths out of it than I will tonight. But look at Genesis 13, verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. First of all, this is Abram's nephew. He gets his increase from his uncle. Obviously, his uncle would, you know, give, here you can have, you know, these four ewes and this ram, and, you know, I've got my herd here. All that Lot gets in his whole life is from his family. And I think he worked his herds and he gets his own servants, but I think they're all linked to Abram. And then it gets to the point where Lot, the younger, can't get along with the older. He should have been thankful. There should have been a thankfulness there that says, you know what, if it wasn't for my uncle Abram, I wouldn't have anything. You don't ever see that in Lot. You just see they get to the point where they can't dwell together. And then look at verse number 8. And Abram said unto... look at verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. So I don't think Abram was striving with Lot. Lot was striving with Abram. Abram was too old for this. And he knew better. And I think he had trained Lot. But it says the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. Lot didn't care about the testimony of the lost people and how they saw Christians acting. So Lot striving with his uncle, and then watch this, verse 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee. The reason I know Abram wasn't the pain is because normally the weaker has to be addressed by the leader to say, let's stop the fighting. Right? It wasn't Abram picking on Lot. It was Lot probably griping, he's got more, and if I had that ram, and if I had those bulls and stuff, my herd would be just like his, and how come my uncle's so greedy and he has it all? Probably, I don't know all that was being said, but there's some fussing going on. And Abram goes to Lot and said, I want the fighting to stop. He said, I'll just tell you the story. He takes him to the plain and he says, pick whatever you want. He said, God's given me all this land. He said, if you go that way, he said, I'll go the opposite. He said, if you go that way, I'll go in the opposite. He said, let's stop the fight. Doesn't the Bible say it's an honor to cease from strife? You find out what it takes to stop the bickering, and God says, that's an honor when you're willing to do that. And Lot, like the greedy little spoiled brat that he is, chooses the well-watered plains. And what looked good, there's no gratitude here. He just says, that looks better over there. Okay, I'll take that. And Abram says, fine. Abram says, you know what? God gave it all to me. I'm nothing without the Lord. Wherever I am, God can bless me. I need God more than I need possessions. Lot doesn't associate that way. Lot ended up being saved, but he was not spiritually sensible. He left the strongest spiritual influence for personal prosperity. He could have said, I don't think I need to leave you for land. I'll make my servants get along with your servants and I'll do whatever it takes. He didn't do that. He just said he chose the material possessions instead of his spiritual heritage, which was his uncle, which is Abram. Notice this about Lot. Look at verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Lot, what he spiritually had become, what he physically had become, became more important than what he could spiritually become. I'll say it again. What he physically had become was more important than what he could spiritually become. Didn't Jesus say in Luke 12:15? Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. If there was ever anybody who's tempted with that, we Americans are. Be real careful. Your life is not supposed to be what you own. Your life is supposed to be built on your character. What Jesus saved you and what He wants you to be, and your spiritual worth comes from who you are, not what you have. Your life is not supposed... And watch, you know, it's a lot easier when there's young people in the church, but they're not going to have what mom and dad have because it's taken mom and dad a long time to get that. It's okay when you get married to eat off of can lids. You know what I mean? I know we went dumpster diving when I got married. You know what I mean? And we weren't eating trash either. Now they lock the dumpsters up because when people eat food out of the dumpster and they get food poisoning, they sue the store. Dumb. Okay, but anyways, that doesn't happen. But I know this, in Chicago when my wife and I got married, it was great. We'd go to Ultra Foods. They had three dumpsters in the back, one meat, one bread, and I can't remember, one vegetable. And man, sometimes that thing was overheaping with Pillsbury biscuits. And we'd take his Suburban, he'd back that thing up, and man, I'd get up on top of that, and I'd just start pitching him, just like this. He was going, poof, poof,
poof, poof,
poof. All right, we dropped a couple. We bring bread back to all the... I said that to say, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Lot, Mr. Lot, it would have been a lot better for you to leave everything and stay with your Uncle Abraham. The backslider is more concerned with physical prosperity than his spiritual well-being. It's absolutely amazing to me. I've watched men choose jobs. Well, my job is moving me. Okay, your job's moving you. Good. Is there a good Baptist church there somewhere? Well, I haven't checked it out, but God will provide. Well, the company's providing me a car. And the company is giving me a housing allowance. And the company says that I need to move down here. So do you follow the will of the company or the will of God? You're going to find out where Lot ended up choosing to go. That had the mates for his children. It doesn't mention his wife. You don't find out about his wife till he gets to Sodom. A lot has to do with your family and where you take them. Is there a good church there? We'll find one when we get there. Careful, Lot did the same thing. He didn't care about his spiritual being. He returned to Sodom after one warning. If you go to Genesis 14 right there, Genesis 14, look at verse 10. We'll kind of end this on Genesis 19. But watch this. Look at Genesis 14, verse 10. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain, and they took the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot has now chosen Sodom and Gomorrah. He's staying in there. Sodom and Gomorrah gets raided. So it gets raided. All the goods are taken. Lot is taken prisoner. Abraham finds out. What? Messing with my family. I like Abram's spirit. He takes all of his servants, arms them, and says, we're going to go get Lot. And all of the possessions, Abraham, in this story here, you can read it later, goes and frees, gets Lot back, takes... Lot should have said, you know what? If Sodom and Gomorrah fell, he should have taken the warning from God. But he couldn't do that. He couldn't see spiritually. You know, maybe it's best that I don't live there. Maybe God doesn't want me to live there. If the whole city just got taken over, obviously, by a wicked king. Lot returned to Sodom after the warning that God tried to give him. You know, our Lord is so gracious, He tries to send warning before judgment comes. But a backslidden Christian can't see the warning. They cannot add up the negatives. The backslider ignores the warnings of God because he has a hardened heart. Now, he was delivered from one city, Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Genesis 19 now. Go over just a couple of chapters. We're just using Lot tonight. Go over a couple of chapters. He was delivered from one city, Sodom and Gomorrah, after it's destroyed, and sought another one. Now you'll see this again, but Genesis 19, verse 17, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape. This is the angel of the Lord talking. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape on the mountain, lest thou be consumed. But fire and brimstone is getting ready to rain on Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot is arguing with the angel. Oh, not so, my Lord. He's arguing with God. God is saying, get out of the city. Escape for your life. Run! Not so! Do you see the backslidden condition? God says, I'm getting ready to destroy it. Your uncle's prayers is causing me to not rain fire and brimstone till you get out of the city. Remember Genesis 18? If there be 50, if there be 40, if there be 30, 20, 10. Here, Lot cannot see. He cannot see. He asks, look at verse number 20. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. He just told you, get away from all of the cities. It was a combination of five cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, obviously together. And God, through the angel, says, go to the plain. He goes, oh, can't I just go to this little city? Do what God's telling you to do. He doesn't have the spiritual perception. He cannot read what God is trying to... I'm trying to save your life, Lot. Let me just... Have you ever watched a Christian try to justify sin? It's just a little one. Just like Lot's doing. It's just a little one. I know I had please. You know what backslidden Christians do? They plead with God, and obedience is not as important to them as it should be. The backslider justifies his sin by categorizing it. God, you delivered me. Thank you. But now this is just a little one. This is a little sin. The whole idea, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I call that advanced Christianity. When you can look at how good God's been to you, and instead of justifying sin, you say, you know what? God has spared my life. God's blessed me. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Wow, God's been good to me. Instead of Lot justifying sin. Watch this. Lot was saved, but he wasn't separated. He moves to a city of immorality and sodomy. Genesis 13:12 says, he set his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. That means every morning when he got up, he opened up his tent, and there was Sodom and Gomorrah. There was the world and all it had to offer. All of its immorality. Every morning when he got up. Yeah. New day. Opens up the tent. Look at that world. And I think he set his tents towards Sodom, and then he got closer and closer. Then, if you were to look at Genesis 19:1, which, go ahead and go there. Go to Genesis 19:1 and watch this. Verse 1 says this, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What's that mean when Lot sat in the gate? He was a governor. So he moved closer and closer to Sodom and Gomorrah, finally moved into the city, and after all, when you're a Christian and people like your morals, oh, why don't you? I don't want to be like Lot and be the best among the worst. I would rather be, so I can grow spiritually, the worst among the best. Well, I'm going to this new liberal church and they made me a Sunday school teacher. Ooh-wee. Well, they don't have any standards. Oh, well, I'm glad of that. So now you're happy that you are the best among the worst instead of being in a place where you can grow spiritually. Being in a place where you can grow spiritually. Lot ends up being a governor. He's sitting in the gate. And then he allows, look at verse 14. It says here, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. His daughters ended up marrying Sodomites, people from Sodom, heathen. Where you live has a lot to do with who your children will marry and who they meet. Don't be surprised. Here we go. I think Lot's... Well, if I read the whole verse to you, watch this. And Lot went and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Watch this. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I think his sons-in-law were lost. Oh, you're preaching again. We've heard this before. We're living a wicked lifestyle, and one day God is going to judge us. And you're saying it's going to be tomorrow? Lot, go home. His daughters married lost men. Then watch this. Watch this. Please be careful. Don't be surprised if your children marry what you tolerate. Lot tolerated the men, and his daughters married them. Be very careful. Be very careful. Wherever the leader is, the follower is always behind. If I, as the pastor, am here, then those who follow me are behind. They're not equal. They're not up to the same spot. No problem, but I need to realize I don't need to be doing anything that can be used as an excuse for sin in the church. There are some of you can do things that I can't do. Do you know why? Because I'm here, I'm supposed to be, right? And the follower is right behind. Same thing's true with parenting. Be careful, your children are behind you. They're not equal. So they will take what you did, a little of, and they'll do a lot of it. That's why when you play with the wrong music, when you run with the wrong crowd, They take what you did. Now we controlled it. We drink just a little. They'll drink a lot. They're behind you. Same principle here. Be very careful. And that reminds me, look at Genesis 19:32. Ready? Look at Genesis 19. Sad story, but I think there's a lot you can pull from it. Lot was a social drinker. Genesis 19:32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. Where did his girls get that type of thinking? So he did end up taking his daughters with him. They left their husbands. And I don't know if these are the single daughters or what, but there's two daughters here, and they say, let's get our dad drunk. Where did they learn to get the dad drunk unless he allowed alcohol in the home? Alcohol is cursed two times, those that drink it, those that serve it. It's never supposed to be in your house. Well, I only use beer to cook with. Well, the alcohol evaporates. I don't want my kids seeing me touch it. Now, kids, don't ever drink this stuff, but it's good in biscuits, okay? And the alcohol will evaporate. But don't ever, ever drink this stuff. That does not work. That's like, don't ever tell a lie. Don't ever tell a lie. Don't ever tell a lie. You lie one time, it's over. You blew it, okay? You cannot do that. Here, Lot was a social drinker. He allowed alcohol in his home, and guess what? The kids ended up taking it. They get their dad drunk, and then the filth that follows. The backslider is always without separation. Lot, how come you allowed alcohol in your home? Where did your girls learn about incest? If these are the single girls, where did you allow stuff in your home? What is pornography doing in your house? Your kids learned it. I'm absolutely amazed at how many people give their kids phones and computers and all that stuff, and then there's no monitoring whatsoever. Well, I'm not of that generation, but my kids, I want them to know the digital era that we're in. Why don't you give them a gun with a bullet in it? You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. They could kill themselves. Or they could. I'm watching teenagers get destroyed with pornography. The parents have no idea what they're into. I do not know why you would give your kid anything dealing with the internet without some type of firewall, some type of block, supervision, or accountability. And you would not, I'd never give them a gun. At least if they shoot themselves, they go to heaven. Don't do that, okay? But I am saying I'm watching damage happen to children that is blowing my head. And it's sad. Careful, the backslider is without separation. If your separation is slipping, then so are you. There should be some things you don't allow in your home. Ever. That does not come on my property. Get that out of here. There ought to be some lines of separation. Lot had none. Number three, what else do you learn from Lot? He was saved, but he wasn't spiritually strong. He did not have strong leadership over his wife. She probably, once again, you'll read of Lot's wife after he gets to Sodom. I don't know where she fits in. I'm not surprised, though, if he married her as a resident of Sodom. Notice this. Look at Genesis 19:3. And he pressed upon them greatly. So the angels come in and they see Lot. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. So these angels, one of them is Jesus. If you read the story there, I believe that. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So who does the cooking for the angels when they come into Lot's house? Lot does, right? Lot does. How come his wife didn't do the cooking? You say, well, a woman doesn't have to always cook. Look at Genesis 18. Look what happens when the angels came to Abraham's house. Watch this. Look at Genesis 18 verse 6. What's it say there? I'll read it to you. It says, and Abram hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. Sarah didn't mind serving the Lord. Sarah didn't mind having anything to do with this spiritual group of men, these angels that are coming into the house. I don't think Lot's wife wanted anything to do with them. I'm not cooking for them. You cook them. Oh, well, we got to do something. These are angels. These are messengers of God. And so he's doing the cooking. Got a problem with Lot's wife. He married a messed up woman. Watch this. When they're leaving Sodom, Genesis 19, look at verse number 25. Ready? And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. She did not care what the angel said. The angel said what? Flee and do not look back. I'm sure she's thinking, who cares if I look back or not? What's the big deal about looking? God killed her. That's a way of saying she became a pillar of salt. God killed her right there. What's it? In other words, she had no regard. The word look back, it expresses intent. It means looking back with an intent to go back. In Luke 17, Jesus is teaching us about this, and I'm watching the time. Jesus did tell us, remember Lot's wife. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Lot did not have strong leadership over his wife. Lot also did not have leadership over his children. I already showed you how his son-in-laws mocked. His girls married sodomites. The girls that escape then get him drunk and they commit incest with him. Can I just show you the opposite of Lot? You're there in chapter 19. Go to chapter 18. Look at verse 19. Ready? Look what God says about Abraham. And this is how come God could bless Abraham. What a verse. Genesis 18, 19. Watch this. For I know him. God says, I know Abraham. That he will command his children and his household after him. What a verse. You know how come I can bless Abraham? Because he's going to lead his family to do right. He doesn't practice passive parenting. Well, you know, whatever the kids decide, that's what we'll let them do. He'll command his household after him. And God says, and I can bless Abraham. There's only one person in the house that gives an account of what happens to the family spiritually, and that's the husband. The wife never gives an account of the kids. The dad does. Always. The wife is the helpmeet. She helps, but who determines the spiritual direction of the home? The husband does. And there ought to be some things that dad says. We don't do that around here. We don't talk that way. We don't dress that way. We don't listen to that. We don't run with that crowd. There ought to, if you're in this house, there's some things that aren't going to go on at our table. And God said, I can bless Abraham. And I don't think Abraham, the Bible says his wife called him Lord. And it wasn't Lord to worship. It was, I love my husband. He didn't drag his hair around his wife by the hair. Come here, woman. Get back in your cage. Woman! He wasn't that way at all. But he commanded his household. When we're in this house, this is how it goes. We will serve the Lord. These are the rules. That's kind of the opposite. Wanted to show you that. I love that verse. Watch this. He didn't have strong leadership over the city. Can we go back to Genesis 19? Look at Genesis 19. I'm sure you could read through this and take your own notes and pull some truths from it, but Lot is a picture of a backslidden Christian. Genesis 19, verse 9. Watch this. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So the angels come into Sodom and Gomorrah, and the queers encompass his house. It says both old and young, because all homosexuals are pedophiles, right? They can't reproduce, they can only recruit. So it says old and young compassed his house, and Lot comes out and says, and they said, we know some men are in there, bring them out here so we can do wrong with them. And Lot goes, don't do this. These are men of God. Oh, you gotta. And he said, and then the men say this, we're going to do worse with you than we would have with them. It says they press Lot up against the door and the angels had to open up the door and pull Lot in to protect him. He had no leadership over the city, even though he was a governor. Even though they did not want to listen to him. You would be a judge, you're a governor, you sit in the gate. However, we're not going to listen to you. Can I just draw a conclusion from this? Hypocrisy and being backslidden keeps you from having a testimony. Be very careful about what you do at work. Be careful what you laugh at. Be careful about the jokes you tell. If you lose your testimony, that happens to every backslidden Christian. There's been times when I tried to always, when I welded at the fab shop, I always tried to go in singing. Even when I was beat. Because I knew they were listening. I only, out of those 12 men that worked from the morning, from 7 to 3, you know, till we got there, I only got to lead two of them to the Lord. I didn't get to lead, some guys got to lead everybody on their shift to the Lord. I didn't get to do that, but I did get to lead two of them. But whenever I went to work, I knew I had a testimony. That's one of those Bible college students. I knew I had a testimony. They had naked pictures of women in their lockers. We didn't go over there. When it was time, I waited in the break room until their lockers were shut. And finally, my boss, praise God, Catholic as could be, said, well, there's got to be something wrong with it. He said, I won't let my kids look at it, so you guys take that stuff down. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You do have a testimony. They watch what you look at. They watch what you laugh at. They are watching you. Be very careful. Lot had no testimony, and so he was saved, and he had no spiritual, he was not spiritually strong. Then he was saved, but he wasn't spiritual. He invested in this life and not the next. Everything he spent his life for perished in the flames. Isn't that amazing? Everything he labored his life for burned up. Then, think about this. The reason for leaving Abraham was prosperity. Just realize this. In a moment, it can be gone. The backslider always minimizes eternal investments. He'll stop tithing and the offering, and he finally stops his service. Be very careful. Look, I encourage you to give, not because our church is struggling. Do you understand? I encourage you to give so God can bless you. Not because we don't know how we're going to keep the lights on tomorrow. Okay? The church is my opportunity to give. And when God says, this is the church I want you in, then this is the church you give, and this is the church you serve through. This is the church you serve through. It's where you earn eternal rewards. It's not because we don't know what we're going to do. Praise God, we got a beautiful piece of property here. Amen? It's 10 acres. I mean, it's gorgeous. To me, I walk on, I drive up there, I walk around the property, and I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Help us use it for you. We got buses. We've got everything that we need, I think. I think we're very blessed. I feel very blessed. Just don't stop. That's why your tithing, your offering, and your service, what you do for God, is very important to you. I'm not going to use people as examples. I just think about what I'm saying tonight. The backslider always minimizes eternal investments. I can tonight because it's Resurrection Sunday. That's how come I don't like having early Easter sunrise services. Now I can tell you why. If you get people at church too much, they start feeling like, well, I've already paid my dues and I don't have to go. Well, we had good attendance Sunday, and we had good attendance Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, in the tank. I've already been to church too much this week. That's not the way we're supposed to think. That's not the way we're supposed to think. We don't live that way. There's two times a year we have a Monday and Tuesday service here. That's it. It's not, praise God, I don't know that I could, you know what I mean? As far as, but we're going to raise the standard and we're going to, we can do this. Dive in and give a little extra. You know what I mean? As far as time. Yeah, and it's going to be a sacrifice to be here. But don't minimize eternal spiritual investments. Look, his wife lived for the prestige and the things of Sodom. His older daughters became part of Sodom's way of life. His younger daughters became incestuous. From that incestuous relationship, you have Ammon and Moab, eternal enemies of God's people, Israel. Ammon and Moab. What a mess. He never, listen closely, we're getting ready to wrap it up. There's never one record of thanksgiving from Lot. When Abraham brought him back from Sodom after being taken captive, not one thank you. When God delivered him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, of course he's just a little one, I want to go to Zoar, I want to go over here to this, not one thank you. Never one time was he thankful. That's two times. And have you ever noticed that the backslider in heart is always ungrateful? Nothing to be thankful for. Let me just tell you, you have a lot to be thankful for. You start with your salvation. Lord, thank you for saving me. If you can just keep the day you got saved, the greatest day of your life, it's amazing how soft your heart can be. But when you start taking it for granted every morning, when you get up on your prayer list, it ought to be, thank you for saving me. You can get that. God can use a Christian that's just thankful they're saved. There is no record of spiritual activity after Lot leaves Abraham. Contrast that to Abraham. Here's the closing verse. You ready? Genesis 19:27. Look what happened. And Abraham got him up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Guess what Abraham kept on doing after Lot's life was destroyed? The same thing he always did. I walk with God. I read my Bible. I pray. I stand before the Lord every morning. Christian, you can mirror Lot and Abraham, and you can learn a lot from Lot's life. How come Lot was so backslidden? How come he destroyed his life? Praise God. We'll meet Lot when we get to heaven. Amen? The Bible says so. He's righteous, but his life was totally burned up. And I think haunted him, and he was never used of God. I know that there are truths in all of this to help us if we're backslidden, but let me close with this. Look, you can't be saved for years and years. I've been backslidden before. And if Jesus tarries, there'll be times I get backslidden. Hopefully, I can use truths from God's Word to say, Greg Nash, you get your heart right. That's not right to think that way. You guard your mind, you guard your heart, but you're not saved very long until you backslide. Everybody backslides. Our job as Christians is to say, you know what? The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. When I get selfish, I need to do a double check and I need to get out of my backslidden condition. Or I'll end up being like Lot. Let me encourage you then with these. I'm so glad when we backslide, God pleads with us and pleads with our hearts to come back to Him. Just listen to these verses real close. Jeremiah 3:14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Jeremiah 3:22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. And finally, Hosea 14:4, God tells us, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. What is it that helps us come back to God when we realize, Lord, I failed you here and here, and yet He still loves me. He never throws me in the trash can when I blow it. Aren't you glad? And that helps me. And God says, come back. I'll take you anytime you want to come. Aren't you glad? What a loving God. If we are backslidden, just some lessons from Lot tonight. Let's pray. Father, please, use the truth.